Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, titled, Your Lusts That War in Your Members. Questions, comments, or prayer requests can be sent to us by email at BBFOhio@protonmail.com. You can also use the old-fashioned postal system by writing your letter, and you can send that along with any check or money order contributions to help support this ministry by addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also contact us at bbfohio.com using the Contact Us page. You can also donate at that same website, bbfohio.com. And now we begin with a current events update, and then our study in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, titled, Your Lusts That War in Your Members. This is part 1 of 2.
Current events. Headline reviews in the news. Number 1, the Taliban is demonstrating to the lying liberals what a real insurrection looks like. There's what a real insurrection looks like. It's when armed people shoot you, kill you, and take over your government. And that's what the Taliban has done, taking control of the presidential palace, posing for pictures, and so forth. Now, on the January 6th thing that they lie to you about and tell you is an insurrection, they were invited in by the police. The police posed for pictures with the insurrectionists. It's the only insurrection in history where the supposed enemy posed for pictures.
And they weren't armed.
Yeah, and there were some people they said had guns, but none of them were shooting and killing people and all that. A real insurrection means an armed, violent overthrow of the government where you kill the enemy, just to be sure about that. Anyone claiming January 6th was an insurrection is a lying propagandist. And that goes for anybody you know. Hook us up. I'll have a talk with them. I'll make sure they understand that they're a bald-faced liar and they need to repent. Because what happened on January 6th was not an insurrection. Now here's the top is the fake insurrection, where police and the insurrectionists are talking and exchanging information. We showed video here where the police invited them in. Said, come on in, come on, just stay in between the ropes. Another hint. You are staying in between ropes. That's not an insurrection. Now, the actual insurrection is down at the bottom. Taliban leadership inside Afghan presidential palace in Kabul with dozens of armed fighters. A real insurrection results in things like this. Afghanis fall from U.S. military plane after clinging to wing in shocking video. Three young men have reportedly fallen midair from a plane leaving Kabul after allegedly losing grip of the wing. Alarming footage appears to show. Now, the fact is, they're also lying to you about this whole thing. They're saying that, well, Joe Biden's just doing what Trump was doing, and it's Trump's fault. Of course, that's they're going to say that. But Joe Biden scrapped the Trump evacuation plan and produce this disaster. The original plan was that they were going to phase this out and they were going to bring all the allies, including the interpreters who helped them while they were in there and all that, they were going to bring them out first. And they were not going to leave behind tons of military equipment. Only Joe Biden is stupid enough to do what he did and to leave tons of military goods behind. So now the Taliban can use all these, they're not Humvees, but there's other, Pedro was explaining, they upgraded to something else. I can't remember what they call them. And they're like tanks with wheels, you know, and they've got all this guns and ammo and everything. To use against, well, at least our allies over there. And so now they're going around just taking all the young women away from their families and raping them and, you know, all that stuff. It's just sickening. We're not going to show the video, but this is a still shot, and that little red arrow is pointing at a person. Kind of reminiscent of 9/11. I don't know if you saw those pictures. Secondly, I want to just also provide some clarification about this thing in Afghanistan. Getting out of Afghanistan was the right thing to do. We have no business trying to go over into other countries as a nation and trying to force them to have a government like ours. And that's what was going on over there. That, and you're going to find out more and more as the years go on, they've already been exposing it, the CIA and their heroin operations coming out of Afghanistan. And there's all kinds of dark, black budget stuff going on over there. And it didn't have anything to do with a war on terror. It's all about money. The love of money is the root of all evil. At least that's what God says. But Donald Trump was trying to get us out of Afghanistan, and we supported that because it was the right thing to do. But he was doing it in a way that wasn't going to cause our own allies and friends over there to all die. And some of these women wish they were dead. Death would have been better than what they're suffering right now. Biden did it the wrong way, scrapping the Trump plan and acting like Jimmy Carter incarnate. Now, some of you aren't old enough to remember Jimmy. Jimmy was the first president that I really was conscious of. And I just remember the gas rationing. Because instead of using the resources at our disposal, he made our country reliant upon OPEC and foreign energy. Welcome to Joe Biden. Or Jimmy Carter 2.0, whichever you want to. We are now back to where we were. That's why your gas prices are going up. And we are beholden to foreign energy and exuding an image of weakness. Jimmy Carter wasn't going to do anything to anybody, and everybody knew that. And that's why we ended up with, how many remember the Iran hostage crisis? Well, you're going to see worse than that. It's getting ready. Here's what angers me is whenever you, Reagan had it right, strength was the best defense. Defense through strength. These Muslims only know one thing, that's brute force. And anybody they think will not smack them in the face, punch them in the mouth, they will come after you. So, how many of our young men are now going to die because of this? That's what angers me. Yes. B, you cannot establish a democratic republic in a true Muslim country. No. That is a fact. That's why I've always said George W. Bush was one of the dumbest presidents we ever had. When they come over here and did what they did, you go over there and you kill the people responsible. Romans 13, 1 through 7, gives our government that right, a divinely ordained right to defend this country and punish those who do evil to us as a nation. But then, we're going to attack Iraq. What did Iraq and Saddam Hussein have to do with 9/11? Nothing. They'd been talking about wanting to overthrow him since his daddy failed to do so in 1990. And you need to understand, your government has a bunch of Freemasons, a bunch of wicked people, and they're not about the United States of America. Think about it. How can you criticize a candidate and a movement that says America first. It doesn't say America only, but America first. Only a complete imbecile would criticize that policy. Unless he's Russian. Yes, all about globalism. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with these people are a bunch of devils with skin. And I always have to say this. There's not enough preachers who are telling people this. Anyone who says otherwise is a complete ignoramus who knows nothing of Islam or of history. Islam is a complete cult of politics and religion. It does not allow for separation of church and state. It does not allow for freedom of religion. Go to Saudi Arabia. Tell me what kind of freedom you have over there. You have none. And anywhere, Afghanistan, Pakistan, in these places where Muslims rule, you do not have freedom of religion. You do not have freedom of speech. You do not have a Second Amendment right to own and bear arms. And that's how they are able to stay in power and keep you from having First Amendment rights when they take your guns. And that'll be the next thing on the agenda from these devils called Democrats in this country. They want your guns so then they can take over everything. And I wonder if there's enough people in this country with enough guts to stand up against this. That's what we're going to see in the next few years. Joe Biden is a senile reprobate.
That's right.
And that's the face of America in the eyes of the world today. You notice Mr. P with a small P is Mr. President. And the White House has become the world's most expensive nursing home. But let me tell you, the last thing I want to see is anything happen to Joe, because if it does, then you have President Kamala. She's what you call insurance. So that's your current events update. We always say this every week after week, this is all setting the stage for the Antichrist. Globalism and the end of America's freedom. All right, James 4, 1-3, your lusts that war in your members. Sounds like strong language. Your lusts that war in your members. Verses 1 through 3, if you're there, read it with me. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Amen? That's the biblical truth. James now returns to the heart of the matter. We've been talking about hypocrisy and controlling the tongue and such things. In verse 1, he says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? We started by seeing this truth in chapter 1. Turn over to chapter 1, a couple of pages. Chapter 1, verse 15. And you ever notice when people talk about, you know, the heart? It's always this nice, frilly stuff. Jenny and I watch, you know, family movies, and they're pretty good most of the time, but you'll constantly hear them say things like, trust your heart. That's the dumbest thing you can do. It's the dumbest thing you can do. Unless when you say trust your heart, you're meaning I'm going to trust the Lord, and He has put His Word in my heart. And my heart is guided by His Word. Otherwise, trusting your heart, you might as well drink some cyanide. James 1:15. Look at that. Read that with me. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And all that takes place in your heart. That's where it all starts. The heart is the heart of the problem. Your heart is your problem. If it's not under God's control and influence, then it's your worst enemy. Scripture was Scripture. Let's look at some of you. You knew I was going to go here, I bet. I hope so. Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah. Chapter 17. Verses 9 and 10. Keep in mind, you ought to make a note of this and keep this in mind anytime someone says, follow your heart. I can't tell you how many times we're watching one of these movies and they say that, and Jenny starts quoting this. Beginning verse 9, read verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now stop right there. Trust your heart? I mean, did you read it? It's deceitful above all things. Huh? Yes, that's what you can trust it to do. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I mean, you can't make it any plainer that the heart is the last thing you should trust. Who can know it? Well, the next verse answers. Read that, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God knows your heart. And it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. That's why when you pray, there's a healthy balance. There's some of these people out there that tell you, you know, they'll say, I pray and I even told God I hate him. You really shouldn't do that. God wants you to be honest and real, but hey, he still demands your respect. Telling God you hate him, because most of the time when you do that, it's something you did, some stupid choice you and I make, and then we want to get mad at God. But it also can be a stupid choice that someone else made. I didn't do it. That person did. Okay, but that's still not God. Don't get mad at God for what people do. One of the most impressive interviews I ever heard was of, I can't remember the name of the people, he was talking about Iraq. It starts with a Y, Yahizi or something like that. There's a group of people over there, and the ISIS just went over there and killed all the men and took these women in as sex slaves. And they were interviewing one of the ladies. And they said, did you ever lose your faith? Because she's a Christian. She said, no. I understand that these men have the devil in them. God didn't do this to us. These men did. And think about how we whine about stuff. We didn't suffer anything like she did. People put their fist in the air up at God because of stuff other people do. Everybody wants free will until it's something somebody else does of their own free will that goes against us. I mean, we all want free will. None of us want to be programmed robots. But any time, happened a few years ago, some young lady that I just knew of, I didn't know her personally real well or anything, but I knew of her. She decided, she had a friend who wanted to go to her boyfriend's house. And this girl said, okay, I'll take you. And as she's pulling in to drop her girlfriend off, a stray bullet clips her, snaps her spine. She'll never move again. She was in her like early 20s. And the last I heard, that was one of the things she said. I'm not mad at God. God didn't do this. And I'm telling you this because your heart will get you in trouble if you don't get it under control before such things happen. You get your heart in line with God's Word and understand, not only could something really bad happen to me or someone I love. We just heard this week of a person, I won't get too specific, whose granddaughter drowned. Just had some mental issues, got loose, they found her dead in the water. Terrible. But, folks, I don't want to get too personal about it, but all of us have little babies and young children that we know and love, and that could happen to any of them any time. Jenny, you were saying it today. Kids do stupid things, and sometimes it gets them killed. She was talking about something else. We saw some kid on the way in here. He's on a swing, and he's got something, and he's like this on his swing, and he can fall off and smack his head on the concrete. Kids, it can happen. So what do you do about it? Prepare yourself now for the reality that bad things, really bad things can happen. It's not God's fault. Sin brought death. Ever since Adam and Eve, sin has been producing death and disease and destruction, wars, famine. You know, most of the famine, the people starving today, aren't starving because we don't have enough food. They're starving because they're in a country whose leaders purposely take the food that should go to them and they hoard it up for themselves, sell what they can, and then they'll destroy the rest instead of giving it to the people who need it. Happens in Africa all the time. This is a wicked world because of the heart of men. You get on Telegram, you can sign up for I don't have my phone on me because we're using it. You can sign up for a page where they give you from all the different states, they have people who post these arrests that are going on. And every day, dozens of sting operations arresting men who are trying to pick up underage girls. And child pornography. And sex slave trade. Every day, I'm not kidding you, every day there are arrests going on. It's like it's endless. Why? Because men are wicked. And if you don't guard your heart, you and I, and I'm telling you, I don't care who you are in this room, if you don't guard your heart, you could end up being into that child porn and stuff like that eventually. Take heed lest ye fall. You say, oh, you're saying that? I'll borrow a statement from another preacher. Peter Ruckman said this, and I've quoted him ever since. If you knew the things I thought and things I've done, you wouldn't want to listen to me preach. And then he went on to say, and if I knew the things you thought and things you've done in your life, I wouldn't want to preach to you. That's the wonderful thing about being saved, is that when you stand before God at the great white throne, all your dirty laundry doesn't get aired out. Jesus paid it all. His blood washes your sins. You are going to be so thankful. I am going to be so thankful for eternity. You think you're thankful now? I've done enough study to know this, even though I haven't seen it yet. After the great white throne judgment, we are going to be so thankful that He didn't air out all of our thoughts and deeds and words for the entire human race to witness because of His blood that He shed on the cross. So forever and ever and ever, you're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins, cast them as far as the east is from the west. But you know what else? At that great white throne, if you choose not to have your sins washed by the blood, your sins get aired out in front of the entire human race and the angels of heaven and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. All your wicked thoughts, words, and deeds are laid out so that when you're cast in the lake of fire, no one's going to argue with God when He does it. Because the whole world's going to know, well, rejected Jesus Christ, basically spitting in God's face after having paid for your sins, and then they're all aired out and everybody's going to say, get that creature out of our face. Yeah, that's what's coming. Great white throne judgment. So when we read this, it says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then you read, I, the Lord, search the heart. I don't stand up here saying, whoa, I'm glad God searches my heart and never finds anything bad. Can't say that. What I can tell you, though, is that He now deals with me as a father does a child. And so He deals with my heart, but I'm His child. If you don't receive Jesus Christ, you're not born again. He doesn't deal with you as a child. He deals with you like a cop and a judge.